are listening to Find Your Flow in Moco, part of the Destination Marketing Podcast Network. Hey everyone, welcome to Find Your Flow in Moco, and I'm your host, Danielle Gibson, and I'm so excited to get to sit down with our two guests today and get in the holiday spirit. They've been working so hard to create a magical experience right here in Decatur. Our guests today are from the Enchanted Forest of Decatur, Denise Marco and Jenny Jordan. Thank you so much for coming to hang out with us today.
Thank you for having us.
I love the Enchanted Forest. So, but before we do that, we have to talk about our favorite Southern treat, the cheese straw. Denise, can you explain what a cheese straw is to our podcast listeners?
Oh, I love cheese straws. They are one of my favorite snacks. It is a salty, cracker, cookie-like, cheesy snack, refreshment, hors d'oeuvre. There's nothing really like it. It's just wonderful, and I love them.
So where's your favorite place to get them?
Oh, goodness.
No pressure.
Mel's Sweet Treats usually has them, and theirs are always wonderful. I don't care for the prepackaged ones. So I like the ones that are homemade or semi-homemade. I've made them myself. I like them when someone else makes them. I like them better when someone else makes them. But definitely the ones like that Mel's makes, or I think sometimes Morgan Price may have some. And so I like what those are as close to homemade as you can get.
Okay, so have you tried the freeze-dried everything? Like, you can apparently freeze-dry candy corns, Peeps, like anything and everything. Have you tried it?
I have. We had a vendor at a Kiwanis event last year at Spirit of America who had a machine, and she was doing freeze-dried everything. And so I tried the Skittles. And I love Skittles anyway, and it gives it a new texture. The flavor's still there, but it gives it an interesting, fun texture.
I love the Skittle ones, and then there's also, I've had it with cereal. I can't remember what type of cereal it was, but it was so good. The Peeps were a little bit too big, so I think I'm more of a fan of like the smaller freeze-dried. Mm-hmm. So, but it's all the rage apparently these days.
It is.
Mel's Sweet Treats has tons and tons of different kinds. So that just made me think of it. So, hey, that's a great present, you know, for the holiday season, a great snack. So let's talk about the holiday season. So I love the Enchanted Forest. And Denise, if I remember correctly, we're close to 5 or 6 years. I think you guys were first starting it when I first started here.
We had our first one in 2018. So this is our sixth year, technically, of having the forest here in Founders Park. So it started in 2017. I was helping my friend Christina Crawford to decorate her tree in a neighboring city's event. And we were looking around thinking how great it was and wondering, why didn't we have something like this in Decatur? And so we put our brains together and talked to Judge Breland. You know how Judge Breland is. He just says, yes, let's do it. And so we talked to him and said, okay, how do we even get started? And we got the ball rolling and thought about, okay, who would this benefit? What group might be interested in this? And I had been diagnosed in 2017 with chronic lymphocytic leukemia. And so the timing just fell right for us to make it a community event that also proceeds could go to finding a cure for leukemia. So the proceeds for the Enchanted Forest go to the Leukemia Lymphoma Society.
Awesome. So what makes this Christmas tree trail in downtown Decatur Founders Park unique compared to other holiday attractions in the area?
Well, I think the biggest thing that makes it so unique is the flow of our park, just the way the walking path of the park flows through, how community sponsors and members are able to get out and really make their tree their own. We've got power in the park now, so that's really great. That's brought a new experience to the LED lights versus the solar lights. But the uniqueness of just being able to stroll through the park, you do not have to strategically plan the way that you're going to go. We do not have to have fencing up. People can stroll through on their own and enjoy just the many aspects of it. I think that's the most unique part.
Yeah, I think so too. It's very magical. And then the old State Bank in the background, it's just quite lovely. So I'm not going to lie. I've had a fake tree for a very long time. And when we first started decorating the trees, I mean, some of these people really bring it out. And there's a certain type of way you have to decorate a real tree because you can't just like loop stuff around, you know, like you have to like wire it and all of this stuff. So tell me, what are some of your, I guess, most creative or most memorable tree decorations that you've seen over the past couple of years?
Well, you know, the park is different if you visit it during the day and if you visit it during the evening hours, because you're going to see different things. During the day, you're not going to see those things that are bright and light up, versus at night, you may not see the detailed ornaments. One of my favorites, Cook Museum, a few years ago, kind of chopped their tree off. And it looked like a beaver had gnawed on it, and it was all toppled over, and the beaver was carrying it off. And I thought that just was it was adorable and it was cute, but it also tied back to the Cook Museum. You could see the connection to the Cook Museum. And so we want it to be fun and enjoyable for everybody, and it will. Some will decorate in that traditional way, but those that are unique, that really shine a light back on their group, their church, their business, really are the ones to me that stand out. Point Mallard put a big rubber duck and tube on theirs 1 year, and how iconic that you knew without ever looking at the sign exactly who had sponsored and decorated that tree just by what they had chose to put on it.
That one was very unique. I was actually going to say that. That is the one that sticks out in my mind the most, just because, like, it was so bright. And you're right, you could tell from a distance exactly whose tree that was. So great job to the team at Point Mallard and Nicole and her staff. But you've also added an additional feature to this as well, which I think has saved me over the last couple of years. I know we sponsor a tree, but now you allow nonprofits to decorate them as well. So how can people get involved in sponsoring the trees and decorating the trees along the trail? And how does that process work?
Well, anyone is welcome to come and decorate a tree. We have trees that are decorated in memory of people who may have already passed. We have trees that are decorated in honor of people. We have churches and businesses and Sunday school classes and youth groups. There's so many. Anybody can come out and sponsor a tree. And what I think you were referring to with a nonprofit is if a business would like to sponsor a tree but doesn't want to take the time to decorate it, they can make a donation, an additional donation, where a nonprofit can decorate it for them. So that extra donation goes towards lights and supplies and decorations. So the nonprofit has the ability to decorate without it really coming out of their budgeted items. And so then we're able to showcase both the sponsor and the nonprofit in how the tree is decorated. So if anyone would be interested in sponsoring and decorating a tree, they can contact us at enchantedforestofdecatur@gmail.com. We're also on Facebook, and we will send them the link to a form that they can fill out. And then they just let us know if they are going to sponsor it themselves or decorate it themselves, or if they're going to have a nonprofit to decorate it. And with their sponsorship, they get recognition on the sign in front of the tree. We provide the tree and an extension cord and a sign. And so that sign's going to highlight them. And then they can put their creative hat on and really decorate the tree in a way that reflects them. And so that makes the experience very unique, and that every year is different. Every tree is different.
I love that. I love that the nonprofits, we have that option for them to decorate the tree, because it's a lot of pressure. I'm not going to lie, it's kind of competitive.
It is.
So I love having that. I love paying somebody else to take that on. So it's excellent. If we can, just, you know, real quickly, I know Christina is no longer with us and she started this trail. So I just wanted to say how much we love her and we miss her. And we just want to carry on this tradition in memory of her. So
absolutely. She would be so excited that this year we have local trees. One of her goals when we started doing this was to be able to have root ball trees. So trees that could stay out there for the month as well, they're decorated, but then that would get planted in our community. And so we've been working, trying to figure out a way to do that. And we haven't quite achieved that goal because they are very heavy. I don't know if you've ever tried to move a tree with a root ball, but they are very heavy.
No.
And it's cost prohibitive as well. But we are very fortunate to be working with the Littlest Christmas Tree Farm out of Hartsel this year. So instead of coming from a truck from up north or Canada or something like that and being shipped into Alabama, our trees have been delivered from right here in Morgan County. And so that's exciting to us to be able to support a small family-owned farm and have trees in the park that are local trees this year. And I think she'd be very proud of that.
I bet she would too. So what can some of our visitors expect when they explore the Enchanted Forest of Decatur? Are there any special events or activities that accompany the experience?
Well, the Enchanted Forest, we are not planning any extra events. However, there are other groups that are doing events throughout the month. We have a sleigh in the park, and it will be located in the Daikin Amphitheater. We're working on light, so it's a good photo opportunity. Decatur Parks and Rec is also working on a bunch of displays. We lost a beloved tree, big tree that stayed in the park year round, which the sleigh was usually parked beside. But in that area, Decatur Parks and Rec are working to have some displays up. The Old State Bank is coordinating three different light shows on a few evenings throughout the month of December, and Parks and Rec will help to coordinate some activities with them as well. And the Decatur Morgan CEO students are planning their Christmas on Bank event. This will be a second year for them doing that. It's on a Sunday afternoon, and details are forthcoming. So really, from the Enchanted Forest point of view, we hope other groups will do the same and take advantage of having the trees in the park and maybe partner with us to bring their events there.
I love that. The light shows are very impressive as well. Like, it's not just a little light show. Like, it's quite a production. So
it is. It is. And with having speakers in the amphitheater now, I think the music that goes along that, you'll really be able to enjoy it. It'll take it to another level.
So how has the Enchanted Forest kind of evolved and grown over the last few years, and what are your plans for the future of this holiday tradition?
Well, I think the biggest growth for Enchanted Forest has been in community awareness and involvement from the community. We see different people each year that come out and participate, and as we're promoting the event, at Third Friday, when it's 95 degrees outside, nobody really wants to think about Enchanted Forest and decorating Christmas trees. But they're all like, oh, yeah, we always take our kids there. And, oh, we love to go and walk through the park. And it's been great to see that community awareness grow over the years. And so that's the biggest growth. Hopefully it has become a tradition for many people. One of the things we're working on this year is a scavenger hunt in the park. I mentioned us working with the Littlest Christmas Tree Farm, and they have elves in their trees and about their property. So each year, the kids, as they're picking out their Christmas trees, they can kind of do a little elf scavenger hunt. So we're trying to bring that to the Enchanted Forest this year. So we're working on some little elves to have out there and a contest to help people to plug in and promote on social media when they are in the park and they found an elf and can share it without giving it away. Now, we don't want to give away the location.
So are they like hiding like inside of the tree? Are they like Are they like Elf on the Shelf size? Are they small? Or like, I have questions about.
You have questions. You do. Well, these are.
You're like, are. Okay, Danielle.
These are pottery elves. They're flat. They're not three-dimensional. They're pottery. Finished size, they're probably a little bigger than an adult hand. And so a little bigger than that. And they will be strategically placed in and around the trees throughout the park. And they will be numbered. So basically they can take a picture and say they found this number without disclosing where it's at. So you won't have to really dig around. You'll be able to find them, but they're not all going to be in the same place throughout the park. And because it's 2023, we hope to have 23 elves out there this year.
Cute. So are they all different types of elves, or do they look the same?
They look the same in shape and size and the fact that they are pottery, but they will be different colors. So you can't just go and look for your traditional red and green elf, because there might be a purple and pink elf out there.
That is so fun. So do they get so many questions. I'm sorry, Denise. So do they get like a sheet, or is it online? Or like, where do they find the scavenger hunt itself? Or
it will be on our Facebook page. The details will be on our Facebook page, and they'll be able to find it and find the rules and find ways to submit when they find the elves. And so yeah, it'll be all there on social media.
Oh, that is so much fun. So that way they can do it really any time of the day. That's fabulous.
Yes. Yes,
I love absolutely. That idea. Okay, I think that's all of my elf questions. So how do you guys collaborate with local businesses and organizations to make this holiday trail a success? Obviously, you rely on them to purchase trees so that you have a really good trail. So how do you communicate with them, and how have you seen the trees like grow? Like, how many did you start with, and then how many are you expecting this next year?
We, as far as the number of trees, we've kind of stayed in about the 75 tree range, and I would love to see it grow so that we have trees along all of the walkways. And really and truly, the partnerships at bringing and meeting with Decatur Parks and Rec, and the partnership with them has been huge. They've always been very supportive in that they install and secure the trees for us. However, last year, they stepped up and brought power to the park for us. And that has really been a game changer, because solar lights are wonderful. They just don't last as long, and they are not as bright. So having that partnership with Decatur Parks and Rec, where we have power and can offer people to use LED lights on their trees, has really made a big, big difference. And just being able to showcase businesses and groups, it is a fundraiser for the Enchanted Forest, so that proceeds go to the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society, but it's intended to be a community event. And so we want the community involved. We want the community to be reflected in the trees, and we want those sponsors who do participate to be able to grow their business and to share their missions during the whole month.
Well, I'm so excited about you guys being able to use a local vendor. I know that there have been some tree challenges in some years, and that just kind of, you know, is what it is. But, you know, when I was growing up in Somerville, I lived on Christmas Tree Drive, like literally Christmas Tree Drive. And people would be like, oh my gosh, do you have tons of Christmas trees? I'm like, not a one. It's kind of a letdown. So I'm so proud for y'all that you're able to find a local vendor for the trees, because obviously that is a massive part, and it can be very stressful if you don't have the right trees and they're not green. And so I'm thrilled for y'all about that.
Yes, yes. We're very excited to be able to work with the local vendor as well. And each year, the trees look different too. It might be a bumper mm-hmm. crop where they weren't as lush and full, or maybe they were taller and not as full, or maybe they were short and stocky and more full. One year yeah. there was, I think it was beetles had invaded. And so the trees just really didn't look that good that year, but they're always
Charlie
different.
Brown Christmas.
It was. And
it's
so,
fine.
Yes, it is. But that's part of the beauty of having a freshly cut tree is they are right. so different. And you wouldn't want it to be the same old thing every year.
No. I used to do live Christmas trees at my house. And then, you know, after a long time, it was so many needles all over the floor. So we ended up going the fake route. But there's nothing like a live Christmas tree. They just smell so lovely.
They do. They smell wonderful. And so that's always a nice added benefit to having a fresh tree.
All right. So now we've got Jenny Jordan with us with the Enchanted Forest. So Jenny, how long have you been working with the Enchanted Forest and what made you want to get involved?
Yeah. So I have been with the Enchanted Forest for 3 seasons now. And so being close with Denise, she had reached out about possibly getting involved. And I just thought this was a great opportunity in a way that I could get involved and make a difference in the community.
Love that. So we asked Denise, what was her favorite tree or most memorable tree? And I think we had the same one. So I'm interested to see what is the one that was most memorable to you.
Okay, so I guess I'm fresh from last year, but my favorite tree from last year was the HCS Engineering with the crane.
Yes. Oh, I love that one too.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
That one's been my favorite so far.
Love that. We talked about the Point Mallard, the one mm-hmm. where they put the floaty on it. Like that one,
That's
I don't know why that one just
one.
Sticks out so well.
That's another does. Good one. I guess it's the engineer in me that appreciated the crane.
Oh, I love that. I love that. So I know community involvement is a really key aspect to this project. So can you discuss maybe some volunteer opportunities or ways for the public to get involved and contribute in this initiative?
Yes. So obviously it takes the community for this event to be a success. And so number one, probably doing anything you can to promote what we do on social media will be a mm-hmm. benefit because, you know, the more we spread the word, the more people will get involved. And so if anyone would like to volunteer, they can reach out to us directly. And we always have those opportunities where, you know, at the season, people want to sponsor a tree, but they don't have time to decorate it. We're always in need of people who just love to decorate, who are willing to come decorate a tree that someone else has paid the sponsorship for. And so, you know, there's really, the opportunities are endless. We would love to be able to showcase businesses and churches and any kind of group or organization in our community and then invite everyone else to join in as well.
I love that. So are there any plans to introduce maybe expanded plans or new elements to the Enchanted Forest of Decatur? Obviously, the elves, which I just asked Denise like a million questions about because I think that's really fun. But what else can you tell us?
Yes. So we're really excited about adding the elves to the trees this year, doing that scavenger hunt. But we've also introduced a new wreath making class. And so we've involved the local tree vendor, a Littlest Christmas Tree Farm out of Hartsel. And they have assisted us with a wreath making class of fresh clippings from different types of trees. And so our first class was really successful and we're looking forward to be able to do that again. And we hope to have other events like this in the future. Some other things that we have talked about are the addition of selfie stations. And so if a business would like to participate in a selfie station, you know, they can sponsor a selfie station and then actually design it and build it and bring it to the park for people to be able to take pictures with and help promote their business. Another one is the introduction of luminaries. And we thought this was a great idea for maybe someone who has lost a loved one to leukemia or lymphoma or has been recently diagnosed. This would be a great opportunity to kind of commemorate them or, you know, recognize them and their fight with leukemia or lymphoma. And then the last one is music in the park. I know with the addition of the sound system at the amphitheater, you know, the possibilities with what we can do there are really endless as well. So we're just looking forward to the future of the Enchanted Forest and making it greater every year.
Okay. So Jenny, are there any other things that you want to talk about the Enchanted Forest?
I feel like it's important to say that the Enchanted Forest is a great local, you know, initiative in order to raise money for the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society. So I think, you know, it's a great opportunity for businesses and merchants and individuals to get involved. And so I've been really blessed to be a part of the committee that brings it to Morgan County. And so I just love to see it grow and get bigger and bigger every year.
Well, awesome. Well, thank you so much for all of your time and investment that you and Denise put into this. I know it's a lot of work and a lot of logistics, so we appreciate you guys so much and creating a Hallmark moment for so many families. And I know kids just absolutely love it. And then I love the addition with the lights as well. So that is fantastic. All right, so we're going to move into our Did You Know segment. And in this segment, we ask our guests one last question before we leave. So Jenny, I've asked her to share one fun, cool, and interesting fact about herself that maybe you've never heard of before. So did you know?
Did you know that I was named after my great-grandmother? Her legal name was Joanna, which is also my legal name. But her nickname was Jenny. She was an artist, and so everyone knew her as Jenny. And so that's how I got my nickname Jenny, which is different than my legal name Joanna.
Oh, I love that. And also, did I hear you say that you're an engineer or engineer-minded?
Yes, yes, I'm an engineer. I figured most people might know that about me. but yes, I am a civil engineer, and I work with TTL here in downtown Decatur.
Oh, very good. Very good. Well, thank you so much for spending time with us today. I've loved hearing all the things about the Enchanted Forest, but everybody needs to know, how do they keep up with the Enchanted Forest? Is there a social media page or a website?
Yes, the best way is our social media page. It's Enchanted Forest of Decatur.
Love that. Well, Jenny, thank you so much for joining us, and Denise as well. You can find us at Visit Decatur AL on Instagram, Facebook, or TikTok, or you can visit our website at visitdecatural.org. Don't forget to subscribe and leave a review. This has been Find Your Flow in MoCo. This has been another episode of Find Your Flow in MoCo, hosted by Danielle Gibson and produced by Relic.